Heavenly Father, we do pray that we would proclaim the love and the mercy and the grace of Jesus until all the world knows you, Father. And Father, as we dive into your word today, we pray that you would open up our hearts and minds, that your Holy Spirit would continue to work faith in our hearts and minds today through your living, breathing word that tells of your love to us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So you've seen this verse at football games, at baseball games, at basketball games, on posters at those games, on t-shirts. You've maybe even seen it on the eye black of athletes that are playing in the game. John 3:16. And perhaps a number of years ago, you saw this commercial during the NFL playoffs about John 3:16. Let's see that now.
John 3:16.
For God so loved the world,
the whole world,
everyone,
anyone,
that a lot of people,
that he gave his one and only son,
his only son,
that whoever believes in him will not perish,
but have eternal
life.
So John 3:16, it's probably the most famous verse in the Bible. And different businesses, maybe where the owners are followers of Christ, they try to just share their Christian witness any way they can. And so sometimes they put John 3:16 and other Bible verse references on their bags or their cups. For example, Forever 21, which is a clothing store that's still around, fast fashion, they discreetly print on the bottom of their bags John 3:16. And the reason for this is a demonstration of the owner's faith, according to the Forever 21 website. Then you have other companies that have Christian-based values trying to attach their gospel message to their products. The California hamburger chain, In-N-Out, prints John 3:16 on its drink cups. Its burger bags say Nahum 1:7. Its fry bags contain the reference Revelation 3:20. An In-N-Out burger, a single meal, can take you through a quick tour of the Bible. Bite your burger? The Old Testament prophet Nahum from Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knows those who take refuge in him." Eat a fry? Jesus speaks through the last book of the New Testament, Revelation 3:20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him, and he with me." So let's be clear. Jesus wants to eat with us, but there is absolutely no indication in the book of Revelation that that meal includes French fries. Sorry to tell you, yeah. This does instead refer to communion and a banquet in heaven. And finally, you sip your drink at In-N-Out, and Jesus announces the gospel, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." These are powerful verses. All of them are. But one has to ask, does this strategy work? Does this method of witnessing make disciples of Jesus Christ? Or do these methods open the eyes and the ears to those people who see them to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps most would answer, well, it's up to the Holy Spirit to convert people, and that is true. Like, you just do what you can, and the Holy Spirit is responsible for converting somebody, for changing somebody's heart. And for me as a pastor, I would say we do anything short of sin to help share the gospel. So if it makes us uncomfortable, if it stretches us, if it challenges us, that's what we got to be doing. Because people are going to hell in our world. Time is short. We need to, as the followers of Christ here at Grace, to make it really, really difficult for anybody in our community to go to hell or to not know Jesus as Savior. And we may have to do things that make us uncomfortable to do that. And that's not me saying, it's in the Bible, right? Follow, go and make disciples. And I think it says in there somewhere, no matter how uncomfortable you get. It's not in there, but I think it's, you know, inferred when you see the lives of the disciples in the book of Acts. So we would like to think that these references on cups or bags cause people to open their Bibles, and we pray they do. We pray that they would get on a Bible app before they crumble up everything and throw it away, that they would check it out. Or they'd go home later and go, what's Nahum 1:7 say? Or is the impact completely fleeting? Is it just business as usual for people who glance at it and just throw it away? Are these really nothing more than in and out scriptures? See, reading a Bible verse, maybe you would hope that I would do it, but sometimes it doesn't. Hearing the word alone, man, the Holy Spirit can use that and can convert people. The word is powerful, the word of God. But scripture also says be doers of the word and not just hearers only. So props to athletes and companies like Forever 21 or Chick-fil-A or In-N-Out Burger who are doing their best to be witnesses in the world. But a next step has to be taken. Something more is needed, an action that's aligned with the power of John 3:16 itself. See, what we need is a sacrifice. And if you look at the two verses that precede John 3:16, John 3:14 to 15, it says this, just as Moses was lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So what happened here is in order to save his people from the deadly venom of the poisonous serpents, Moses had lifted up a bronze serpent on a pole that was used to give new physical life to the children of Israel if they were bitten by the venomous snakes during this plague of snakes. And in similar fashion, what this text is saying is to save all people from the sting of sin and death, Jesus is lifted up on a cross, and it gives new life, but it's new life eternally because it's forgiveness of sins. It's not just restoring their physical lives or your physical life or my physical life. And so must the Son of Man be lifted up that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. That's a real sacrifice. That's a sacrifice that saves you and me and every person in this world that acknowledges Jesus as Savior and saves them eternally forever. And God makes a sacrifice as well. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So God didn't so love the world that he just sends you and me a flowery love note, or that he just gives every man and woman in this world a pat on the head. Oh, good job. Go get them. Go get them. No, it's a true sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that has impact eternally. And because God did this, everyone who believes in Jesus may not perish, but have eternal life. And the construction of this sentence, so loved that he gave his one and only Son, it emphasizes the intensity of the love that God the Father has for you and me. It stresses the greatness of the gift. that he gives you and me. Everyone knows that actions speak louder than words. That's why the death of Jesus on the cross and God's sacrifice of his only son continues to resonate so loudly over 2,021 years later. In similar fashion, although very, very different, it's a sacrifice, but not the type of sacrifice that God made. But it's still a sacrifice that when you walk or you drive by a Chick-fil-A restaurant on a Sunday, you can see they're trying to live by their Christian values because they're closed. You know you've done it. You're like, oh, you hungry after church? You want to get some lunch? I'm feeling some Chick-fil-A. Oh, it's Sunday. Man, they're closed. Gosh, right? That's what happens. Well, according to their website, the Chick-fil-A founder made the decision to close on Sundays in 1946 because he believed that all Chick-fil-A operators and employees, quote, should have an opportunity to rest, spend time with family and friends, and worship if they choose to do so. That's a sacrifice, economically speaking, because Chick-fil-A is the number one fast food company in America. If they had four or five additional days to sell chicken, they would even do better than they do now. Although it's probably good because they don't have enough Chick-fil-A sauce to go around right now. So it's probably good they're not open or there'd be an uproar, an upheaval in America. But it is part of their recipe for success. Isn't it interesting when you look at John 3:16 and then you look at 1 John 3:16 through 18, they kind of go together. 1 John 3:16 to 18 says this, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth." So what are these verses saying? Saying, if you know that Jesus lived, died, and rose for you, and you believe that that love that he's given is given to you, yet you refuse to share the love of Christ that overflows from Jesus into your heart with the hope that it overflows out into somebody else, you refuse to give that love, then do you really know and understand God's love for you? Do you really understand the gospel? How does God's love abide in that person if they don't love as Jesus loved them? So what core values will you defend even if it hurts, even if it costs you something, even if it makes you uncomfortable? What are you willing to give up or give out in order to do the right thing and be the follower of Jesus that he calls you to be? Maybe you may give a portion of your Sunday morning to a children's Sunday school class. You know what? During the summer, we're still looking for people to serve as a Sunday school teacher. And you may be saying, hey, I have the love of Jesus in my heart, and it is time I express it. A next step for you may be just serving as a Sunday school teacher just over the summer, a few Sundays. Maybe you know a recent immigrant who just relocated to Knoxville, and you just give one day a week, one evening, just a few hours to help teach about the culture that we live in and teach English to this person, build a relationship with them. Maybe an afternoon a month you give to a teenager who just needs some mentoring. They just need to know that they matter and that they have value. And so that's a next step of you sharing the love of Christ as a follower of Jesus. Maybe it's a week, a year to an overseas mission project, maybe an orphanage in Guatemala, where you just give 1 week of your life as a next step to say, Jesus, I'm all in as your follower. I want to share your hope and joy. Maybe you're new to this whole Christian thing, and you're not really sure about what you believe, or that even you're not even sure if Jesus is real, but you want to hear more. Well, in July, Pastor Rich will have an adult inquiry class, and you can go to that and you can hear more about the hope and joy of Christ. That's a next step for you. You can join a grace group, which is a group of people who are just living life together, sharing a meal, getting in a Bible study, praying for one another, supporting one another in this thing we call life. You can register for one of those. Whatever next steps you want or you need, feel free to email Pastor Rich and myself. Our emails are in the bulletin every week. And so maybe you're going to be praying about it this week, and next week you email us. That's great. And we'll connect with you. We'll help you take those next steps in your faith. That's what we're here for. We're here to help you engage with Jesus and take those next steps of faith so that you can connect with those people in your circles of influence and tell them about the hope that you have. See, such actions will demonstrate that you're not just an in and out as a Christian. See, the good news for us is God desires salvation. He sent Jesus as a human being for you to save the world, not to condemn the world. That's what John, the gospel, says. And so all God asks is that we put our faith and trust in him to know he's driving, to know that the Holy Spirit gives us a free gift of faith. And he just says, just trust me. I'm with you. I'm for you. A gym dealer was strolling the aisles at the Tuscan Gym and Mineral Show some time ago when he noticed a blue-violet stone the size and shape of a potato. He looked it over and then as calmly as possible asked the vendor, "You want $15 for this?" The seller, realizing the rock wasn't as pretty as the others in the bin, said, "Well, how about I'll take 10 for it." Well, this stone has since been certified as a 1,905-carat natural star sapphire, about 800 carats larger than the largest stone of its kind. It was appraised at $2.28 million at the time. You see, it took a lover of stones to recognize the sapphire's worth. And it took the lover of souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, to recognize the true value of ordinary human beings, you and me. And he loves you and me. We have value and worth. No matter whether other people see it or not, Jesus sees you and he sees value and he sees worth and he sees treasure. And see, the love that God has for us is summarized in this nutshell that's known as John 3:16. John 3:16 is the magnifying glass of God's love for all humankind. If there was one verse that summarized the heart of the Bible, this would probably be the verse. All of the highways of divine truth meet at John 3:16. It's the hub of revealed truth. For this reason, it's one of the first verses, from what I understand, that's translated in other languages of the Bible. A guy by the name of Gaylord Kambarami, the general secretary of the Bible Society in Zimbabwe some years ago, he tried to give the New Testament to a very belligerent man. The man insisted, "Well, I'm just going to roll the pages up and use them to make cigarettes, but all right." Well, Mr. Kambarami said, "I understand that, but at least promise to read the page of the New Testament before you smoke it." The man agreed. The two went their separate ways. 15 years later, two men met at a Methodist convention in Zimbabwe. It was the scripture-smoking pagan who had found Christ and was now a full-time evangelist. He told the audience, "I smoked Matthew, and I smoked Mark, and I smoked Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. My life was changed from that moment." See, aren't you glad that God's book is more than just words on a paper? And instead is the living, breathing word of God that has power and can change a man's heart who even intends to smoke the Bible away. See, in order to plant the gospel deeply in people's lives, we have to trust Jesus. We have to stretch ourselves a little bit sometimes and challenge ourselves. And we have to be obedient to the command that God has placed on our lives to go and make disciples. But if you're a follower of Jesus who is a regular attender or a member here at Grace, we have a command based on scripture that God has placed on our lives as well. It's to connect with one another and to connect with Jesus. It's to grow in faith in Jesus and grow in relationship with one another and help other people grow in faith of Jesus. And it's to serve Jesus and his people as we share the hope of Jesus to his people. See, that's what draws people closer to Jesus and helps them to know that they're followers, that they have value and they matter and that Jesus loves them. That's all in Christianity, not in and out. Amen. Please rise.